Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So liturgically speaking, we're past Christmas, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. We're past the time of his being raised in Nazareth, being baptized in the Jordan. And now on this third Sunday after the Epiphany, it's the time we undertake the ministry of Jesus. Like the wise men who sought the place of the birth of the newborn king, so we ask, where will he do this ministry? Where will we find him? What will be the base of his operation? Like the wise men, you might think to look at Jerusalem, but that's not the place. Yes, that's the most important city in the land of Israel, the religious and political capital, the city of David and his descendant kings who followed. It's the city of the temple of the Lord. But if you're thinking Jerusalem, you'd be wrong. Interestingly, during the ministry of Jesus, Jerusalem becomes the city of opposition. Opposition to his ministry, that is. Jesus himself noted that Jerusalem is the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to it. So if not Jerusalem, then where? Instead, Jesus sets up shop in Capernaum. Capernaum? Can any of you locate that if you had a map of Israel? No, that might be too much to ask. How many of you, here's how I can relate this, or how it relates to me. How many of you have been out of town or out of state and someone says, well, where are you from? How many of you say, oh, I'm from St. Louis area. I'm from Metro St. Louis. You don't say, I'm from O'Fallon and expect anybody to know where you're from. Or Fairview Heights or Swansea or, well, maybe Belleville, I don't know. You see, Capernaum was not that important of a city. It was located close to Jerusalem, but north of the Sea of Galilee. And so it was basically a fishing village on the northern side. So it was part of the region also that the elite didn't really think much of, the elite from Jerusalem. It had been overrun by the Gentile pagans and was still influenced by the Gentile culture. And this is where Jesus goes to do much of his work. But this was all according to God's plan. God's plan is always best. That Jesus would carry out much of his ministry in Galilee, this fulfilled a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, where it reads, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness, have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Mind you, that was written 750 years before Jesus arrived on earth. On them, light has dawned. A light came to Galilee. A light dawned on those dwelling in darkness and death because Jesus came there and did his ministry. Where Jesus is, there shines forth light and life. And this is why I can say to you today, it was not only in Zebulun and Naphtali, not only in Capernaum and Galilee, but also now on our country, on our region, on our little town called O'Fallon, on us a light has dawned. But we're a civilized people, aren't we? Are we people dwelling in darkness in a land in our town? Are they dwelling in a region and shadow of death here? I remember having lunch with a fellow pastor a few years after I had arrived at Blessed Savior. And we were talking about some of the issues of the day. And with a wink and a smile, I said, "We don't have those kinds of problems in O'Fallon." And we chuckled about that. Anyone like me who is a little bit over 50 knows our country isn't the same as it was when we were kids. When I was a kid, I walked home from school to and from. I had free rein of the neighborhood. I didn't have to worry about being abducted or shot in school or being solicited with drugs. That just didn't happen. I'm sure it was a little different for those who were living in the inner city, but those of us who remember those freedoms we enjoyed as kids, we mourn that loss of freedom for our children today. Then again, I was just a kid. Maybe it wasn't as good as I remember. Well, the truth is, there was and is darkness across our land. You can see the darkness all around. It's not just in the violence we see in this world today. It's in our personal relationships. It's in our politics. It's in our very souls. And it's not just the people who never attend church. It's also the people who go to church. There's a lot of lostness and darkness to go around. And maybe you can see some of it in yourself. I know I can. Because this land in which we live is a land of darkness, it is therefore a region in shadow of death. Where there is sin, there death is sure to follow. In fact, death is like the hound that is tracking all of us down. And it will chase you all the way to the grave. No escape, no way out. The death rate for sinners is, guess what? Still 100%. There is a tombstone with your name on it somewhere in the future, and who knows how soon that will come. This is the part of prophesying, we call it forth-telling, that which Scripture has already revealed to us, but that's the part of it I hate. But it's necessary. If I tell you that everything is hunky-dory, I don't think you'd believe me. And second, I'd be lying. The Apostle John writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And Ezekiel warns us that the soul that sins, it shall die. If you cannot see the problem, well, you'll never see a solution. And there is an answer. There is hope. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned. On us light has dawned. How so? Well, Matthew links the prophecy of Isaiah to the ministry of Jesus. And three words in this text describe the ministry and work of Jesus. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Matthew states, and he went throughout Galilee, all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Preaching, teaching, healing. Let's take those one at a time. First, preaching. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand because he is the one bringing the kingdom of heaven into our midst. But there is a giant obstacle that stands in the way of our entrance into that kingdom. Very simply, sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that verse is just branded in us. The resolution for that obstacle isn't do better, but repent. God isn't very American, is he? We'd like to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That's American. But Jesus knows that our sinful predicament, in our sinful predicament, self-help isn't a solution at all. Only repentance opens the door to heaven. In view of that, it's time for us to repent. All of us, good people and bad people alike, for we all have stuff to repent of, sin to repent of. And it goes even deeper than that. It's our whole person we have to confess, our whole sinful self. It goes to the depth of our nature as self-serving sinners who have turned away from God and chosen our own way to live. Repentance means to acknowledge that, to acknowledge our waywardness, acknowledge our sinfulness, get sick of it, mourn over it, confess it to God, and plead for his forgiveness and mercy. Because of his great love for you and me and his abundant grace, he will give it to you because he has promised it. Repentance, of all things, leads us to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus delivers the kingdom to us. When Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven is at hand or the kingdom of God is near, it was because he was there proclaiming the way, the only way into God's kingdom. God in human form had come into our midst. For where Jesus is Lord, there is blessing. There is end time salvation. There is rescue from darkness and death that surrounds us and inhabits us. Jesus comes bringing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We will see him manifesting and dispensing those blessings of the kingdom in his ministry. So the first thing we see Jesus doing is preaching. Preaching repentance and the announcement that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's now. Wherever and whenever the kingdom is proclaimed in Jesus' name. Here today in O'Fallon at Blessed Savior and wherever the gospel is being proclaimed is the day of salvation, today and every day until he returns in glory. The next activity of Jesus in ministry is his teaching. And to do that, he will need people to teach. And so he calls his disciples. The first bunch are a few of, believe it or not, Galilean fishermen. What's up with that? Peter and Andrew, James and John. He says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus is going to train these guys so that down the road they can bring more people into the net of the church so they too can learn from Jesus and follow him. Guess what? That's us. You and I have been called to follow Jesus and to learn from him. And that means not just knowing a bunch of facts so that we can win the Bible trivia section in our trivia event coming in March 18th. Commercial. No, the purpose of Jesus' teaching ministry is to unfold for you the true meaning of God's word so that you can believe and live aright according to God's design, not your own. And that, in its most basic form, is to live in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. There's our church motto, love God, love your neighbor. It's the fundamental teaching of our Lord Jesus. Remember this too. Following Jesus teaches us of our daily dependence on Him. Our faith is not in some meritorious chart where we put little stars for each accomplishment to gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven. As forgiven children of God, Jesus teaches us about the abundant life, a life that cannot be achieved without Him. We trust in the merits of Christ, who went to a hill called Calvary to obtain the only righteousness that works, the only righteousness that opens heaven's gates. Christ crucified, there is true wisdom, wisdom and power that looks like foolishness and weakness in the eyes of the world. But to those of us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus calls us to follow Him in faith and to learn from Him as His disciples. This is an ongoing discipleship, your whole life long. Oh, your salvation is already won. That is guaranteed by Jesus Himself. Make no mistake about that. He took care of all of that by His death on the cross and by His mighty resurrection. And you have been joined to Jesus in your baptism, and you have been given the Holy Spirit. That is already secure. Your hope in Christ for eternal life is firm. It's solid, because it rests outside of you and in God's promise. But your life as Christ's disciple is always growing. The Lord will continue to teach you as you continue in His Word. Which leads to the third aspect of Jesus' ministry, namely healing. Okay, Pastor, we've got you there. You say Jesus did preaching and teaching and that He's continuing that today through the ministry of the church. Got it. But where's the healing? Look at what Jesus did. They brought Him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and He healed them. What about that? Well, here's the thing to remember about those healings. All those people that Jesus healed in Jesus' time, they all ended up dying. They got sick from something else down the road and they died. But it wasn't like Jesus' healings didn't take. No, it's just that they served a limited purpose. What was that purpose? Those healings showed us what is in store for all of us because of what Jesus would do by His death and resurrection. The healings are a sneak preview, a pull of the curtain to see the ultimate healing that we will all receive when Christ comes again on the last day. God healed me of lymphoma in 2015. I thank Him for that. But I knew then what I knew now. And I take the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians when he says, "The trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality." You see, our death puts to death that which is perishable, but we will rise imperishable, just as Jesus rose, with immortal bodies. That's my hope, and I know that's your hope as well. The point being, God is committed to healing our bodies and restoring the whole of this broken creation. That day is coming. It will come on the day when Christ returns. Resurrection, glorified bodies, creation made right better than ever, a new heaven and a new earth, eternal life. Each week we come to church to receive God's assurance of healing. By baptism, our sins are drowned and a new person arises. By the sacrament of the altar, we receive the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus, in with and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins. These are more than just reminders of the great salvation we have in Christ. They are sacred, God-instituted means that put God's healing touch and His claim on our bodies and deliver this salvation to us personally. That makes them extremely important. And so, dear family of faith, we see that the preaching, teaching, and healing ministry of Jesus hasn't stopped. Our Lord Jesus is still forgiving. Is still giving forgiveness, life, and salvation to us and among us through the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the healing administration of His word and sacraments. Yes, here where we live, here in this land of darkness, here in the region in the shadow of death, this is the Galilee where Jesus is doing His thing today. And we can say with assurance, with great joy, and with great confidence, upon us a light has dawned. The light of Jesus has dawned upon us. Glory be to God. Amen.